Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're going to go right to remembering a very timely segment as the Army of the Dawn, this prophetic word that was written and given out by Rick Joyner, talking about the church is going to take on a military demeanor. What does he mean? We're going to go to that segment now and look at it and remember this, because we need to prepare for what's about to happen in the earth. Let's take a look.
If you haven't read the book yet, maybe we have it. You can see it. It's Army of the Dawn, written by Rick Joyner, and it's really, you know, if you read about the call, the vision that God gave him, the call, I think, was pretty relevant. He penned his last part of it in 1998. You know, they published it, I believe, in 1999, January of 1999, it came out and hit the presses. But when we were reading that, and it was just so accurate, you know, for what the Lord was saying. And one thing he talked about in that particular vision of the call, and you're looking at, I think right there, the Army of the Dawn. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. But you got to get it. You got to read it. It's very encouraging. It's very informative, practical things, as well as the, you know, the direction that we're, he believes, you know, we know in part and prophesy in part, but what he's, you know, he's seeing. And what we saw and read about in the call, in that particular vision, today is the day that you're, you know, you're starting to see that. And the Army of the Dawn is really kind of, okay, we're walking into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the humility level of Rick Joyner is totally amazing. You know, he's always pretty open to say, you know, I'm not there yet. You know, we're on our journey. You're hoping, you're like, okay, it's been 10 years. But the truth is, it takes a while to fulfill things. Mm-hmm. And it's through faith and patience we inherit things.
Process.
And it's a process. And so one thing, I want you to see this right here, where he's talking about something pretty interesting, because historically, you know, the church and the Inquisition and the things that have happened, you know, with the Catholic Church and the military viewpoints that they took of things. And is Rick Joyner talking about this? Well, we want to first hear what he says, and then we're going to talk about it. I think it's going to really encourage you.
But you are going to see the body of Christ take on a military demeanor. Doesn't mean we're going out killing people. It's not what this army is about. We go out to heal them, raise them from the dead. You know, not to wound them, but to heal them. Not to conquer them, but to set them free. You know, but there is a military discipline that we've got to have, a military demeanor. I think you're going to see coming upon the body of Christ more and more. I think it's going to start gelling
come on
this
more
year.
And more. And he says, you know, he believes it's going to start gelling this year. You know, being, you know, former military, both of us served in the military. We just kind of drove y'all around on our boat while y'all shine your shoes. We don't know what, no, Navy and Marines. That there's one thing, you know, God is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who pervert order, you know. You know, ISIS has some sort of order, and but God has an order. God is a God of order, and there's one thing with I know when Rick was writing about the vision he had about the call, when he was looking at these three particular armies, and you know, it was three different seasons of the church, and the first particular army was just in chaos. There was no people were jealous and envious, and you know, people look at. In this vision, people had higher rank than someone else, and they were intimidated by that, and somebody else was lording over them. It was just a mess. The second army had, you know, more, you know, some order to it, but still a lot of those issues there. And the third army, they were just marching smoothly in order. Everybody was moving in agreement. Nobody felt better than anybody else, but there was order to it. And they would walk into a city. And it was a destroyed type city. They'd walk into it, and all of a sudden, it would be replenished, and everything turns green, and everything is lively. And when they would leave this third army, things would stay good. Mm-hmm. But when the earlier two armies would go into a city, they would cause more damage. Mm-hmm. The first army would just cause damage. And the second army would actually do good, but they would kill it on the way out. There's so many people that step on their harvest. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do this, they go do ministry. And then they don't understand that you can kill that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't just happen. And then they just, with their character, with their behavior, how they treat people, they could just kill it. And that's what the Second Army did. And of course, the Third Army would go into a bad city. It would get better when they leave, it stay. They knew how to do that. And so the Lord asks Rick in this vision, he says, you know, which one do you think you are? He says, what do you think we should do with this First Army here, which is a mess?
Right.
And of course, you know, Rick responds immediately. We just need to just deal with them. We need to, you know,
remove them.
Yeah, it was just like intense, right? You know, get rid of them. And then the Lord says to Rick, he says, this is you. This is the church. This is the condition of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about it. That's where we were, what, 1998, you know, at that mm-hmm. time, 1999. And so somehow we have to progress through this thing, you know, which are we? What is our life like? And you mm-hmm. can tell a person, you can tell where they are in their life by the trail, the wake they leave behind.
Mm-hmm. Relationships.
The relationships, yeah. You know, and we talk about that in, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, but you can tell about a person, the wakes don't lie. You know, if you're going through the water in your ship, in your boat, you know, it puts a cut in the water and it puts a wake. There's a right side and the left side to the wake. One side of it you could really call task, how you handle the task. And the other side is how you handle relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are really good at tasks, but they'll just murder you on the relationship thing. Like, just pick up your head and
but
let's go on.
Done,
you just
done.
Cut my head off, right? Yeah. And there's other people that are good at relationships, but they don't ever get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's so... It's having the balance of those two things. And that last army, mm-hmm. which is where the church is going and growing to, is where we have that revelation. God has given us a grace to be able to do that. And I'm mm-hmm. excited about going in that direction. So the Army of the Dawn really is talking about that.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that is because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so we're talking about this military demeanor. It's about order.
Yeah.
You know?
And as you're saying that, one of the huge things is when you're hearing what Rick Joyner is saying in regards to having a military demeanor, it causes me to remember, and in regards to being in the Marine Corps, is that look at boot camp. You have 50 to 70 individuals come together, and 3 months later, they can hear a voice of one individual say step.
And in 3 months.
In literally 3 months,
right.
You have 50 to 70 people walking as one. Yeah. Now think about this, when you look at the church, it's like following the leadership of the Lord, following the voice of Jesus Christ. There's no, you're not saying, well, what are you doing? It's like, right. What are we doing together right. to advance what Jesus has called us to do, walking together in agreement, coming together as the body of Christ? That is encouraging.
Well, you went fast by, you know, boot camp, because a lot of people might not understand that. But you said, you know, you're basically chaotic, and everybody going their own directions. Mm-hmm. You go through boot camp, and then they get you in order, but also an agreement where you're walking in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no such thing as an effective fighting force that's not unified. That's why America right now is in a very dangerous state, because people are confused. There's not a clear vision over our country. People are trying to undo and transform us from our original viewpoint of mm-hmm. who we were and God intended us to be. And that's totally, I mean, if anything could be divided, the enemy's working hard to
divide it.
And an effective fighting force in the military is a unified, you know, a unified unit that's walking together to the point that, you know, they say that a man does not really necessarily die for his country, but what he does is he gives his life for his buddy, his fellow soldier.
Lays down his life.
Yeah, that's right beside him. But if you get a lot of those relationships together, you got a large army.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works. You have a relationship. Yeah. But the church is so isolated, you know, for years. You know, even though you're gathering together, do you know anything about the person next to you? I know you know something about Susie in the Sunday school class, but do you know that the person beside you that you sit beside, you know, for years, do you know what's happening in their life? Do you know where they work? Do you know if their marriage is okay? Do you know if they're financially all right? Do you know if they have teenagers that are giving them a hard time, or, you know, do you know anything about them? And are you connected enough in a relationship to help them out? Well, that's one thing that, you know, Army of the Dawn is talking about, and what, you know, Rick is talking about, and what the Lord's kind of head us in that same direction is, mm-hmm. you know, discipleship is best caught rather than taught.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but what you're doing is messing me up, you know?
Hugely. Mm-hmm. When you look at how Jesus walked and he spent time with his disciples, you had the religious leaders of the day focused, and they were carrying out everything that was going on in the temple. And it was just like, you look at the relationship between the disciples and Jesus. He would, you know, say, look at the grass of the field, look at the sparrows, look at the tree. And they spent 3 years with him. Right. And then what happened after that was the book of Acts. And it's like the context, like you're saying, of discipleship in that relationship. Mm-hmm. That's where it's returning back to. He's saying going back to those small units, those small gatherings.
What we keep trying to do, we just think if we just get a whole bunch of people together, we'll have a big army.
Right.
But the truth is, if you really know how armies are set up, and we're not going to be a military army, but the kind of concept of that, it's really a whole bunch of very small units, right?
Mm-hmm.
Platoons, and depending on what branch you're in. And when they all come together, they're really separate little small groups, very small groups. And it takes that point to be able to say, to do something effectively, mm-hmm. you know, and it has a leader, and they're going in a direction, and everybody knows their place. But over 90% that, you know, Rick writes about in the Army of the Dawn, over less than 10% and less than 10%, 10%, only 10% know their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
About that. I mean, can you imagine if you're in the Marines and you graduate from boot camp and they still are going like, don't know why I'm wearing this uniform and I'm tired of shining that thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you got to know your purpose. It's one thing, you're knowing your place, and that, you know, 10%, only 10% of Christians are aware of that. That means 90% don't, and less than 10% know their call. You know, in the military, you would say, you know, you're going to be, you know, a marksman or shooter. You're going to be, you know, on this, and you're going to be on, you know, food. You're going to do this. And all of a sudden, everybody just goes and does their thing, and it just happens because everybody's in their place. But right now, if we don't know our call, don't know our purpose, and we don't understand what Rick's talking about, is, and this is not something we're going to make happen. This is something we're going to realize it needs to happen. And it will happen. I mean, you think about a natural family who loves each other, that there's something inside of them because of their relationship that does not let bad things happen to one of the members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go sit around the table, and you know that all of a sudden, there's no spiritual laws going on. You just see somebody's face. It's so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe. It's like, oh, are you going through something? And are you going to pass the ketchup or are you going to throw it at me? No. I mean, there's something you can do at a smaller group that you couldn't even do. There's people dying, you know, next to people in large organizations that they need somebody in their life. And so I think it's going to be a thing. You can't make things happen. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing you could do is like, that's right, you know, we can go do this military thing. And if you're going to make it happen, you're going to be like the person's wake who only dealt with task. Mm-hmm. Because there's one thing about the military itself, it struggles with. They got the task part down, but this relationship type thing mm-hmm. sometimes is really tough. The thickest relationship you have in the military quite often is with your smaller core group. And then you just tolerate whatever else is going on. Right?
Everything outside of that.
Right. So it's 99.9. And so, so you don't make this thing happen, but be open for it. Be open for, you know, am I a person of order? You know, do I get offended when I'm asked to do something? Do I have a place and a body? Do I know my call? Do I know my purpose? If God launched me out on the front lines and he's sending us all out, go into all the world, am I ready to do it? Or I'm actually living vicariously through others who'd be able to do that. And you know your place. I mean, that'd be terrible to be launched out in the military and your platoon is sent out and your small squad is sent out. And all of a sudden you look at the other eight fellow soldiers with you and you go, what are we doing here? Actually, that did happen. That happened. One particular man was in a foxhole. And he said, it was in Iraq and five shots were going off. He said, the only reason I was in this thing is for my education, to get an education thing. And the guy that was telling me the story, he said, you're in. This is it. This is the real deal. And a lot of the church is like that. And so we got to say, you know what? It's time for us to move into this season. And we can do it by becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One great way to do that is begin to abide. And we have something. We have a plan for you. Abiding with the Lord, he talks about. It's impossible to do anything outside of abiding with him, Jesus. Go to iabide.org and get your abiding plan today. It's real simple. It's broke down. You start building a relationship, a true, authentic relationship. Think about this. If you had 90 days to learn something, that if you didn't learn it on your 91st day, you're going to be dead. You pay attention.
Yep.
It's amazing that you know that inevitably you're going to be put on the front lines and you're going to have to go, you know, a tour of duty. You're going to pay attention. Well, that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. We're all going on a tour of duty. God has sent us all out. And begin to pay attention to build your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, become his disciple. Most of the church in America is not even discipled. Think about it. And we're called to be disciples, followers, people that know his teachings and follow his teachings. According to what Rick Joyner's talking about. That's what he said in there. And with that, I know we got to go to a break, but in that, you know, when we begin to take it seriously, what God has called us to do, and realize that God could call us to Egypt tomorrow, God could call us to Iraq tomorrow, God could call us to Afghanistan, God could call us to China, God could call us to our neighborhood, but we're going to have to do something for him because he's called us to do something. Then we start paying attention. And when you do that, you start coming together because you're listening to the same commander, Jesus, the same, you know, sergeant, you know, the same Holy Spirit is directing us all and speaking to us. And that's why when we come together and we all say amen. It means there's something in my spirit that bears witness with your spirit that we heard from the same commander. And that's what brings us together in unity. Is that not so powerful? When we get back from this break, we're going to hear more what Rick Joyner has to say in regards to preparing for a coming move of God. Make sure you join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
It's been said that strong families represent the ground floor, the foundation for a stable and well-ordered society. It's true. So much of what brings health and happiness to human beings, and especially to children, depends on committed individual family units. That's why serious social problems are inevitable when marriages begin to deteriorate. Let's take a look at just one way marriage contributes to cultural stability. As we all know, a certain percentage of high school graduates tend to increase their consumption of alcohol, marijuana, and cocaine when they go off to college or other pursuits. But a study of 33,000 young adults conducted at the University of Michigan focused on individuals who got engaged or married and those who became parents. It was found that these young men and women quickly and dramatically decreased their drug and alcohol consumption. Why? Because marriage typically produces greater self-discipline. And as one of the researchers said, if you feel a responsibility to and for another person, then you're more apt to control your own behavior and play a controlling role in your partner's behavior. That's the bottom line. When a society is populated by millions of strong, stable families, there's less poverty, children are healthier and do better in school, violence, crime, and psychiatric illnesses are also less common. But in the absence of healthy marriages and commitments to children, societies begin to unravel.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That's so encouraging to hear about that. Obviously not militant, what you're thinking of that word when we're talking about it. It's us just finding our places and obeying, being radical in our obedience to God and finding your place, which is important, by the way, to be a disciple, to be able to, the only disciples really march in ranks. I mean, if you're not a disciple, next thing you know, greed or idolatry or jealousy or something's dividing you out.
Factions,
like that.
Discord, right?
Yeah, factions and discord. And, we have a couple of teachings on that, as a matter of fact. But first, listen, we want to go and find out, you know, what do you do when a move of God arrives? When it begins to arrive, and what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to Rick Joyner now. Take a look. You know, I want to stay on that topic just a little bit more when he talks about, Rick was talking about taking on a military demeanor. But before Rick said this, Jesus said it when he was talking about to the centurion. And this centurion was a person in the military. He had people over him that told him what to do in the military. And this is, that was the day. I mean, mm-hmm. They'll tell him what they told him to do by then, and had people under him. And Jesus walked up, he walked up to Jesus and said, you know, he had a particular servant that was sick. And he's like, you know, can you go to my, he says, and my servant is sick. Can you heal him? And Jesus is like, yeah, I'll come over to your house. I say, whoa. I mean, that's somebody, yeah. Somebody who has the military demeanor knows what we knew in the, and we watched it on 6 days in Iraq because they had a Marine that was talking in the presence of a general in the Peshmerga military. Yeah. And he's going like, I'm sitting in this general's office joking with him. Because there's a sense of honor when our captain would come on our ship in the Navy. We would, like, say that the ship's name is the USS Kennedy, for example. And the captain would come on the brow of the boat. And as soon as he's coming on, before his feet touch the boat, they would be ringing a bell and said, USS Kennedy arriving. I mean, they identified the captain of that ship that ran that ship as the name of the ship. They were like one and the same. I mean, that's how authority, how military sees things like that. And if you don't see it that way, they actually encourage you and remind you.
They have very effective ways to remind you.
Yeah. In boot camp, you know, we had to really learn because we're learning.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't even pass an officer without saluting them. So if you're walking side by, they're walking a little ahead of you and you're about to pass them on your right, for example, you couldn't pass them without saying, holding a salute up and going, you know, by your leave, sir. Mm-hmm. They could say no, and you cannot go faster than them or past them. Mm-hmm. Or they would just salute you and you can go on because you're always recognizing. It's so important. You know, you can have the legalistic way of doing that, or you can have the honoring way of doing that. Well, you're honoring somebody who's an authority, who has more knowledge than you, somebody who you're going to, you know, follow their leadership. And so of all the people, and this particular centurion that's talking to Jesus, this military man, centurion means he had 100 people under him. He wasn't even a Jew. I mean, Jesus came first for the Jews, then the Gentiles. I mean, but here he was, not even a Jew. And Jesus was responding. He does respond, but I'm just saying, you know, but this is what Jesus said. This is why I say this. Because he said, listen, no. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Sort of like that former Marine was talking to that general in the Peshmerga army, which is the...
In Iraq.
In Iraq, which is the Kurdish military. And... And he's saying the same thing. He's like, no. Oh my goodness, no. But all you got to do is just say the words. Just speak the words. He knew, he understood the authority of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, right? And Jesus could just say the words. And he said, if you'll just speak these words, this is us getting the demeanor of the military, understanding this, right? And my servant will be healed if you'll just speak those words, if you'll just say those words. This is a man that totally got it, right? And Jesus' response was this. He's like, hold the fort, you know? Now, he didn't say hold the fort, but he's just like, wait a minute. I haven't seen anybody in all of Israel that has the greatest amount of the substance that pleases me the most, which is faith, mm-hmm. the greatest amount of faith in all of Israel than this man. Think about it. He said, this is what the man says. He says, listen, just speak the words. Just speak the words. Listen, I understand. I myself am a man under authority. I got people over me, and they tell me to do stuff, and I do it. And I got people under me. I tell one to go, and he goes. I tell another one to come, and he comes. I understand authority. Just speak the words. And Jesus is like, you got the greatest amount of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this centurion had the greatest amount of the substance that pleased God the most. So if we'll understand this part of what mm-hmm. God is wanting to reveal to us, his church, then we can see those very same things. And Jesus is like, it's done. After Jesus praised him and acknowledged this man has the greatest amount of the substance that pleases God the mm-hmm. most. He had the greatest faith in all of Israel. So really, when you see somebody who understands what this militaristic demeanor is, this military type demeanor, that's somebody that understands the authority of God and the authority of the believer, and they understand their place. They know that there's geographical regions, there's regional authority, there's particular. You may be in your city, you may have a call in your city, or you may have a call to a smaller area in your city. But then again, somebody else may have a call to several cities in that area, and they have an anointing or grace to speak into those seven cities. Now, you, if you have an anointing to maybe be a pastor of a local church, and you're doing a wonderful job at that, there's nothing, God hasn't given you something to be able to walk in and begin to speak over that city. And if you did, it wouldn't work out because mm-hmm. you're not carrying that particular anointing for that particular thing. But if you understand this order, you will recognize and honor that person or persons that God has put in that city to be able to do that, and you walk together as unity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a huge, if you don't understand that, and a lot of people haven't served in the military, they haven't been in the Boy Scouts or some sort of function like that, and they don't understand that. And a lot of people have had dysfunctional family upbringing, and they didn't have a father in the home, and so they don't understand authority or a father that was activated. And so they get around authority, they just panic, mm-hmm. They're paranoid. They're thinking, something must be going on. Somebody's trying to control me, all this kind of stuff. And instead of understanding its authority, it's the way things are going.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.